Hey everyone, welcome back to Google Workspace Recap, where we review everything new to Workspace every week. My name is Jesse Nolan, my co-host is Steve Larson, and we're here to help you keep up. Let's talk about Next. Agendas are currently live, and some sessions are already full, so if you have not done so already, head over to the site and start putting together your agenda. Now let's talk about parties at Next. It's numbers times, folks. If we did an exclusive Workspace After Party Lounge networking event, would you attend? I will include a link to a Google form in the show notes, or you can comment on YouTube, tweet us, basically anything other than a carrier pigeon, because that would take way too long to get to us, and I need to know numbers now so that we can decide if we are able to actually put this thing together. Steve, you excited for Next?
I am. I mean, I'll be there. I have not done my sessions for every day yet. I think I've got my first day sessions selected, but they're all part of I think just for the partner tracks at the moment. I need to kind of see which ones I'm gonna balance between partner track sessions and public sessions, so having a look at that.
Yeah, you definitely got to get in there because they're filling up, and
Well,
you know, it's crazy to be able to reserve your spot online before the event, but that's the world we're in right now.
Yeah. So. Yeah, most of the time you can still get in.
There's people that don't show, and there's, you know, you're able to kind of wiggle your way in, or standing room only, or things like that. Right. It depends on how packed the session is. Yeah. Likely anything with the word AI in it is going to go fast if it hasn't already, because that's the hot button topic. Should be a good show, though. It is a little weird looking at some of the just navigating throughout the session library. Obviously they have to do this, but I find they're overlapping sessions and then they don't repeat at other times, so I just straight up need to choose between which ones I want to attend, which is a little bit frustrating. I've also found that, unlike in previous years, I'm not able to share, not yet at least, not able to share my agenda with all of you so that I could say, hey, here's what I recommend. And it does say explore expert agendas here, but there's only two of them. And quite frankly, neither of them were really all that interesting. It's, I guess, industry things. One is digital transformation and regulated industries, and the other one is monetization and venture capital funding for startups, which I'm not entirely certain how that's related to this.
Yeah, we all have the same one, so it's not like it's customized to anyone.
Exactly. And even on that, like, there's only six sessions on there when there's a lot more slots, so I don't really know what's going on here. That's very highly specialized and not agendas that I would recommend, honestly, for you know, any track that I can think of, whether it's the collaborative apps track, which is Workspace, which is how they talk about it here. So basically what I did, folks, if you want to copy me, is I went on to browse by track and I clicked on productivity and collaboration apps, and I just selected all the ones that seemed interesting. What's new in chat, what's new in Drive, what's happening with this, well, Google Duet, blah blah blah, like all of the things that were specifically related to this, those are the ones pretty much that I selected. And then if it was seemed not interesting to me, or you know, less relevant, I hopped over into the IT managers and business leaders track, as well as the DevOps, IT ops, platform engineers, and SREs track. And I just kind of poked around to see if there's anything else. Obviously, go to the keynotes, people. They're a lot of fun, first of all. But second of all, there's a ton of stuff that usually gets announced straight away in those. And you know, those are going to be where a lot of the big data points are announced. And then also be looking towards some of the other ones, like what's new in those are also going to be announcing new products. So what's next? Redefining productivity with Google Workspace, for example, is hosted by Aparna Papu, who is the GM and VP of Workspace. You don't want to miss that one. That's at 12:15 on day one. So put that in your schedules. I can share
individual sessions.
So maybe I'll just put all of the links for the ones we recommend into a spreadsheet or a I don't know, a doc or something, and share it with everybody. Maybe that would be a little bit easier for people. But yeah, those are the ones that you want to make sure that you get, and then the other ones, you know, just basically see what's interesting. I do see actually what's new with Google Chat on here twice, which is on the same day. That's interesting. Nope, they're on different days. So it looks like some of them you are going to be able to see more than once. Specifically, what's new with Google Chat is probably going to be a big one, that they're showing off some new features and a fresh design. Who knows if it's going to be fresh for the eagle-eyed scouts like us that are constantly watching this space and have seen a lot of the newer things in betas and other announcements on other blogs and such. But I still wouldn't recommend missing those.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little interesting of a whole, like the way the whole site works. I'm trying, you know, I'm like selecting August 31st and it says, oh, you have no sessions for this day. And then you click, you know, browse session library. And I'm thinking, oh, it's just going to show me the 31st days. And no, it doesn't. It shows me all the days. I'm just like, I'm trying to pick my sessions for the 31st. Why are you showing me all the days of this, you know, this conference? So
when you do hit my agenda, once you have a couple of things slotted in there, you will have a browse sessions during the time slot that you don't have, and it will show you the available sessions during that time slot
on that day. But when you have your days empty, when your day's empty,
there's nothing there.
31st right now, it gives me sessions for every single day.
Yeah, that's silly.
I pull it up, which is weird. Yeah, so I don't know if I just have to. Maybe just not much going on the last day, I guess.
Yeah, and actually that was something that I was thinking about or talking to a couple of people about, actually, is like, when is everyone getting there? When is everyone leaving? In the past, I have shown up day of. I've flown in early. I don't recommend it if you can manage it, if you can afford it, because it's such a hassle carrying around all your stuff. Plus, you're just worn out from the flight, and you don't usually get there on time, not to mention the enormous amount of traffic getting even from the airport to the venue. And it's San Francisco, so traffic is just god-awful to begin with. So, you know, if you can, get there the night before. That's what I plan to do. And then for those of you who can, I'm sure people are going to be flying out of there at, 2 o'clock or whatever, given that the last day is a half day. So not a whole lot of extra time to play around with for our event, but I think on day two in the evening, maybe we'll get something going or something like that. Or maybe day one. Depends when the Google party is.
Well, I know there's one on the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, I don't know if it's the same one that you're
thinking. I will tell you that the Google Next official party is on Wednesday, August 30th. That's the big one.
Yeah.
Any more details than that are unknown to me, totally hidden away behind locked doors and secret labs inside of Google. But that's that one. If we're going to do an event, it'll probably end up being on Tuesday night.
There's just a welcome happy hour 5 to 6:30. So keep in mind, I will not probably be available during those times.
Yeah. That is a Google Next happy hour.
Yeah.
And then there's an innovators thing, and then there's a partner thing, and there's other vendor things, and there's a lot going on other than just Google Next. So if you're not aware of those things going on, you generally just want to keep your ear to the ground as you walk around the show floor, and you'll hear different vendors talking about, oh, we got a party. You want to come? You want to come to our party? And one of those might be us. If you are interested in a workspace hangout, please let me know so that I can try and hack that together. We do have a couple options on the table, including with sponsors and maybe some snacks or cocktails and hors d'oeuvres or something along those lines. Steve, I love your pink fingernails.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about those. Yeah. Barbie movie this week with the kids. So
I just glanced over and you had your hand up on your chin there and hello, pink fingernails.
There they are. Yeah, they're still haven't worn off yet.
Just show them off and wear them proud, my friend.
Barely chipping off since some of the corners. But yeah, like all the boys had their, well, one of the twins had black and pink, and then the other one had all pink, and I think a daughter had, you know, like pink with like polka dots or something like that. So we all had our nails done for a movie.
Very, very nice. I like it. It's a good look for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to keep it until they wear off, you know, until they're almost completely gone. So
I think you should have them redone for Google Next.
Yeah. Okay. Well, you know what? I'll do Google Colors for Next.
There you go.
Yeah. Actually, that's what I'll do. I will. I'll get it done in, you know, blue, red, green, yellow, and yeah.
Well, if anybody doesn't know what Steve looks like at this point, just look for the guy with the Google nails at Google Next.
That's, you know, actually, that's exactly what I'm gonna do now. That's a great trick. Idea. That's what I'm gonna do. That. Yep. Yeah, I have them done for Next.
Yeah, I was trying to think about what I'm going to wear so that I can, you know, stand out a little bit and tell people about the show and things like that.
Need to bring me a shirt so I can actually get a
recap. I got to make new shirts. I've changed the logo 3 times since the last shirt.
All right.
I was thinking about wearing some of the innovators swag that I got, but they got us this bomber jacket, and I'm like, it's summertime in California. I'm not wearing a freaking bomber jacket. Yeah. I'll die. Like, I'll just melt. So
yeah,
I don't know. I gotta come up with some custom swag for us.
Yeah, you had to wear your like big blue puffy like developer jacket last year a couple of years back to get special access to things.
Oh my god, that better not be the case this year.
Yep.
Did they tell you in advance, or they were just like, oh, surprise?
No, I think they handed them out at Next. Ooh. And then they said, that's what you use to get in, you know,
okay,
to get access.
That's fine. I'll allow it.
Yeah.
No, that's why I like t-shirts. It's hot out here, people. It's 90 degrees today. It's hot elsewhere, too, but it's more often hot out here. All right, do we have a show, or are we just going to schmooze for an hour?
We could
talk about Steve's nails some more. That.
Yeah. We do have a few pretty good updates this week, actually.
We do.
So a couple good ones, actually, in the end of week recap post, that being the ability to set context-aware access policies for first and third-party applications to access Google Workspace APIs. There's the ability now to include audio when sharing your screen with Google Meet on mobile. And then this is actually more of a limitation than a feature. It's a single Google group can be a member of 30,000 shared drives, which, you know, it's a lot. But before it used to be unlimited. But this now is limiting it to 30,000 only, which I think is pretty reasonable. I think
that'll be enough.
It could be enough. Yeah. I don't know who was adding a group to more than 30,000 shared drives other than for malicious purposes, I guess. But it's actually something I thought of when I was thinking of, you know, oh yeah, I've got a whole bunch of these like email groups from Google, and if you wanted to, you know, add a whole bunch of shared drives to people's views, you just add these groups, and then now thousands and thousands of people have all these shared drives. They're just like taking up their, you know, side panel, and you know, yeah.
It's a good thing you're not malicious.
I told Google about it. They're like, just like, yeah, you know, we know about it. It's fine. We'll just, you know. Someone reports it, we'll deal with it. That's what they said.
That tracks.
Yeah. Yeah. And then in terms of updates this week that we saw, last week, we saw 5 updates. First one is the ability to adding line numbers to Google Docs. Next is the ability to import sensitive external files to Google Drive with client-side encryption using the Drive API, which is launching in beta. Yeah, again, a lot of client-side encryption releases this year. They're doing a lot of work on that. Next is the ability to sync users and groups from Azure Active Directory using Directory Sync. And you can now disable submissions after a due date in Google Classroom. And then finally, inline replies are now available within announcement spaces in Google Chat.
Doesn't that kind of defeat the purpose?
Well, no, I think not really, because, you know, this aligns with what Slack has from those announcement channels, right? So it's only allowing people that are authorized, you know, to create that initial post, and then responses can be done by anyone. So people can, you know, respond, and they, you know, I think because you only get pinged when you are part of those response threads, right? So it's not going to overwhelm people when people do those inline responses.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
Yeah.
Certainly helpful for, what do you call it? For like, announcement, real notification, like, important things.
Yeah. Yeah. And then a couple items in the news topics. There's a YouTube article about a deep dive into Google Workspace security and how to make that safe and how to make safe and smart collaboration. It's a little bit long of a topic here. A reality.
Smart collaboration reality. Yeah, it's an event in September, so you have time. 50 days, in fact.
Kevin Epidaka, he sounds familiar. I feel like I've seen him speak before on things. Yeah. Looks familiar, sounds familiar. And then Google is also working on a supercharged assistant powered by LLMs.
Fucking finally.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I think you missed the timing on that just a little bit. I don't know if that was the purpose.
We'll do it in post.
Yeah. Okay. And then finally, Google, the next agenda is live, and we've kind of already covered that. So
yeah, we killed that one.
Not much to talk about on that one there. So, yeah. First one. So then in the recap post is the context store access capabilities are expanding here to kind of set policies for first third-party applications and their access to Workspace APIs. So you'll be able to set those up on your, different access levels. And this is, extending into the APIs that request Workspace core data and giving you a little bit extra layer of control over how that data is accessed. So this, of course, is available to those that have access to context store access policies, which will be Enterprise Standard, Enterprise Plus, Education Standard, Education Plus, and the Cloud Native Premium users there. That's a little bit, a couple links in the article about how to apply those and deploy those. So have a look at that if you're interested in adding that into your CAA policies. Next, the ability to include audio when sharing a screen using Google Meet on mobile. So that's something you've really only been able to do on a desktop, but now it is giving you the ability to share video with sound or share music along with your presentation when you are on a mobile device. That is going to be available now on iOS devices and will be rolling out to Android devices in mid-August.
I don't think I've ever done that.
Like
presented from my mobile exclusively.
I've done it.
Especially to the point of wanting to share audio.
I've done it a couple times when I've wanted to have my phone as the remote for the presentation. It's a lot easier when you're presenting the presentation on your phone, like when you're standing there sometimes.
I suppose an iPad could probably be a good use case for that as well, or Android tablet.
Yeah. I don't know. If you're walking a stage or something, the phone is just a little bit more subtle and convenient, I always felt.
You don't have the clicker remote?
I mean, you can.
I love those.
But you could then, you can't look at the screen if you needed to reference it or something.
I suppose.
I know, but then you usually have screens in front of you if you're on a proper stage, I guess. But anyway, I don't know. In my situations, I've used it a couple times for that purpose because you didn't have screens on stage to look at your presentation kind of thing, but I wanted to not be in front of the computer, for example.
Right.
And then finally, talking about this is more about limitation than a feature, but of course, I guess a feature can be a limitation, I guess, right? This is going to limit the number of shared drives a group can be added to 30,000. So that is rolling out now to wrap release and good release domains. On a bit of an extended rollout, longer than 15 days for that, and available to those that have access to shared drives. So, an extensive list of tiers that have that. I think most of you should know who have shared drives by now. All right, let's skip over that long list of SKUs then for that. Next, being able to add line numbers to Google Docs. So if you're if you need to have line numbers, for example, like in
legal,
legal. In trying to think of the name of it. Yeah, court report, which would be transcripts, court transcripts, for example, that have all the line items, that line numbers on them. So that would be useful for that use case. These are going to be added now to Google Docs. That feature can be added by heading to the tools line numbers and show line numbers settings, and then you can kind of modify those as you need to. That is going to be rolling out to wrapped release domains starting on the 24th of July on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility there, and then starting the 7th of August for scheduled release domains, also on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility and available to everyone with Workspace as well as personal Google accounts. So docs across the board will see that.
Why only in paged mode?
Well, because why? I don't know. It kind of makes sense, though, I think.
Does it?
I don't know. Yeah. Maybe not. I don't know.
Especially because it says that it can be the entire document, a page, or a specific section.
Yeah.
So if it's not limited to the page or limited to the entire document, and I could just do a couple of paragraphs or something to that effect.
Yeah. True.
Why is there still this break in different types of different subsets of features available for, I don't know. Seems
pageless and Patreon.
Strange
well,
to me.
Probably because I don't know, not because, but I bet anyone that's using this feature is used to paged mode only and they're only used to pageless.
Doesn't mean that, you know, those who are using pageless.
I know. Yeah.
Just seems odd because the limitation would even be there in the first place, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, because most of the time if you're referring to lines, you're also referring to pages, right? You're not saying, oh, you know, line 23, it's, you know, page 3, line
maybe.
So because I wonder if it changes, it resets every page, right? Does it?
Theoretically, that's what I was just wondering, but screenshot doesn't show enough of the page for me to see that.
Well, it only shows one page, right? But it does show...
Not even...
Well, I think it probably shows the top of it, which is 12. So I think it probably is.
Which would mean it does not.
So yeah, that's probably like, you know, page 2, line 12.
Yeah. I don't know.
But yes, yeah, one caveat to that is it is in paged mode only, not pageless. All right. Next update here is the ability to now import sensitive external files to Drive. With client-side encryption using the Drive API, and that's launching in beta. And this is available to those of you that want to take advantage of it through a sign-up of a form. So you'll have that link. It's migrate to Drive CSE beta test application. You'll have to fill that out, provide a little bit of information about, you know, who you're currently using for your service partner with encryption. What are some kind of languages for, you know, your helper libraries, if you're a developer and, you know, want to start to take advantage of this. So fill that out to get access and start to play around with this new feature. It's, you know, once you get accepted into that beta, there'll be some detailed instructions on how to use that Drive API to import those documents with CSE. And that beta is kind of open now and accepting customers over the next several weeks.
Cool.
So, yeah. Although I didn't see an update on the directory sync page from like an update perspective there. This is, you know, an application here for directory sync. I wonder if it's because just the cloud sync here. An alternative, yeah, directory sync, alternative to the Google Cloud Directory Sync, GCDS. Of course, yeah, so GCDS is actually, looks like it may not be getting it. So this is just directory sync to sync users from groups from Azure Directory. And the update here is that it's, you know, kind of giving users and groups the ability to sync there from Azure over to Active Directory. Just looking at some more of the details here, there is directory sync is still in an open beta, and it's going to no sign up or registration required, but you can start to use that and take advantage of the new feature pretty much right away. This started started last week on the 26th of July, and that was on a full rollout for rapid release and scheduled release domains on a pretty quick 1 to 3 day rollout for visibility on that one. And available to everyone that's using Workspace and Cloud Identity. Next, second to last update we have here is that ability to disable submissions after a due date in Google Classroom. So this is following up on a previous announcement where there were some grading periods in classroom, and there was some introduction of another feature that enabled teachers to customize grading in classrooms there. Or this is kind of another feature here, sorry. And that is that ability to disable submissions after a due date. So you can stop accepting submissions for an assignment past that due date. And you'd be able to decide whether or not to require a strict due date and set that when you're creating the assignment. I'm looking to see if there's any other interesting little caveats to this. But no, I think that is kind of the extent of that update. This one is rolling out starting the 27th of July on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility for both wrapped release and scheduled release domains, and available to all Workspace customers with personal, along with those with personal Google accounts as well. Which I guess, you know, it says all Google Workspace customers and users with personal Google, but you can't create a classroom with a personal Google account and create an assignment, can you?
They can join though, can they?
But you can't, I mean, you wouldn't have access to this feature if you're only a personal Google account and nothing else. You can't create assignments in class. You don't have access to classroom.
I don't know. I actually don't use a at Gmail account ever.
Well, yeah, I mean, you can join classes and you might be able to be a teacher in a classroom with your Gmail account, but you wouldn't have access to this feature on just a personal Google account on its own. So not quite accurate on that, but if you are in education or Workspace with access to Classroom as a tool, you'll have access to the assignment feature here and setting a date. All right. Next, that inline replies on in the announcement spaces in Google Chat is now available. So as we were saying earlier in the intro there, if you are taking advantage of a kind of announcement spaces and you have certain people that can only post those announcements, this now gives you your non-announcers the ability to respond to those posts. And this can, looks like it can be enabled here or disabled under permissions and reply to messages, and so you can just select all members or space managers only. And this is rolling out already to wrapped release domains as of the 28th of July on a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility there. And then scheduled release domains, we'll see this starting a little bit later on the 14th of August, also on a gradual rollout to 15 days for visibility. That is for the web. And then mobile users will see this. We've started to see this already starting on the 28th of July. Also a gradual rollout up to 15 days for visibility there. And that is for both rapid release and scheduled release domains. And all Workspace customers will see that. That is it for the updates this week. Talk about a couple items here, there in the news, and
Yep. That's all the published
about next, if we want.
And yeah, I think we've done that. Yeah. Just two then. If we'll leave out the next schmoozing, as we covered that at the top of the show. And I'm sure it won't be the last time we talk about it in the coming weeks. But the next event that we have here coming up is a deep dive into Google Workspace security, which should be fascinating. How to make safe and smart collaboration, try that again, a reality, by Kevin Apodaca. Hopefully I got that right. Sorry, Kevin. Interesting here, some interesting data in the description here. It says, despite how central it is to business success, security can often be seen as a detractor to productivity. Very true. With 37% of enterprise IT leaders and knowledge workers saying security and regulatory policies are the biggest challenge to an effective employee digital experience. And then goes on to talk about how Google Workspace can help with that. Join the session for a deep dive on workspace security features, live demos, Q&A, and the best practices, etc., etc. This is going to be on September 21st at 9 a.m. Pacific. That is 550 days from now, over on YouTube. And you can hit the notification bell to notify me when this event is happening. Last but not least, pardon the expletives at the top of the show, I am very excited to say that I have an article from 9to5 Google that says a deeply committed Google, quote-unquote deeply committed, their quotes, not mine, Google working on quote-unquote supercharged assistant powered by LLMs. I was going to say LLMs, which is what I wrote in the notes. So, whoops, sorry about that. But Google announced apparently internally that it is Google announced internally that it is updating Google Assistant with the latest large language model technology, which had to happen. There was no world in which this didn't happen, unless Google wanted to kill off Assistant entirely. So I'm glad that this is the case. They're not the only ones that are doing it. I'm sure Amazon is taking a long, hard look at their smart assistant. I'm sure Apple, who has been rumored to be playing with these language models, are also taking a long, hard look at Siri and how they can supercharge their own. So this is the new battleground for smart assistants. The AI talk has finally gotten here. And I don't know how long it's going to take. I don't know if that's related to the reason why they decided not to roll out to their smart speakers the, what's that platform that they've been rolling out? I'm blanking on the name for it right now. Magenta. No, they switched the kernel to their custom OS. Custom OS for smart speakers. What the hell was it? And then they halt Fuchsia. Google abandons, this was 5 days ago, I guess this probably should have been in the news. Google abandons Fuchsia plans for Assistant smart speakers. And apparently there were a couple of speakers in the family here that were excluded from this, such as the little pucks, as well as the screenless. I think they were all basically the screenless speakers here. But for anyone who's been paying attention to that space, the Google Home hubs have all been updated to the custom built Fuchsia OS. Not that anybody noticed, because it just did a factory firmware update overnight, and the interface was, as far as I can tell, exactly the same. But Google appears to be hitting the brakes on the rollout, and I'm wondering if it has something to do with how they're rebuilding it around whatever this next generation is for including LLMs. LLMs, yeah, it's a funny word. I just want to say M&Ms instead of LLMs. but it's a very, very welcome update here. You've heard me talk about this in the past several months, I guess, at this point, that all of the assistants are just dumb. They're just gotten inaccurate. They've gotten worse. They've gotten to the point where they give bad suggestions now as well, and it's just, I don't know, the cobwebs are showing. It's time to tear it down and give it a supercharge, as they say in the headline here, with this new incredible technology, as long as we can prevent it from hallucinating too much when it's responding to you. That would probably be not so great. All right, that's all I've got to say on that. Other than that, is the Google Next Agenda is live. So once again, as we said many times throughout the show here, if you have not yet done that, go and fill out your agenda. It's cloud.withgoogle.com/next, or just Google search Google Next, and it's the first thing to come up. That's all for this week. Send us your questions and comments on Twitter. Once more, at the finish, let me know, please, anywhere you can, except Carrier Pigeon, if you would like to come to a dedicated Google Workspace networking event at Google Next. I need to know as soon as humanly possible, please. Hit me up on Threads, whatever, man. Everywhere is fine. And let me know that you would like to come so that I can get the people with the checkbooks who are interested in collaborating on such an event on board, and let them know that there is real interest for this and we can find a space and make it happen. Hit the subscribe button wherever you're listening. Thumbs up if you're over on YouTube. 5 stars if you're not. Leave us a review, etc. Have a great week, and we'll see you next time on Workspace Recap.